أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. For those who haven't been here, what we tried to start to talk about has been the discussion of trying to abstain from sin. One of the blessings of the holy month of Ramadan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in it is that it's supposed to help us be able to abstain from sin. And we've tried to discuss issues regarding that, some of the harms and benefits. Of course, we haven't touched on any of the benefits yet, and I'm not sure if we're going to get time to do all of that, because we're trying to touch on some of the subjects, not all of them. We've tried to touch on some of the harms of the sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us from. We said, based on the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, we need this form of motivation. That's one of the reasons, one of the causes that keeps us away from sins, is going to be knowing the harms and then sometimes knowing the benefits. And there's another dimension, as we said, and that is that for those of us that understand what it means to be a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would long for being the servant of Allah, then that itself would be sufficient. Yesterday, we started talking about the sin of backbiting, ghibah. We talked about the verse of the Holy Quran that tells us how great a sin this is, and the effect of it on us, the effect of it on our communities, and that being the reason why this is such a great sin. The image, the dignity of a person, of a believer, being ripped apart has been, there's the resemblance that that has is to tearing apart the body of that person. And even worse, as we said in the other session, one of the previous sessions, sometimes things that are non-material are much more devastating than material things. The effect that damaging the image of a person has on that person in a community is much worse than beating on the body of that person. The body can be cured, it can heal. But if the image and the reputation of a person is destroyed in a community, their entire life in that community could be at stake. So this is one, a very great sin. But what happens sometimes in regards to practicing and abstaining from sin is that at times we find not being so familiar with what that sin actually is causes us to go on to extremes. Usually when we get a little more religious, if we're talking about the sin of backbiting, then whatever we hear about others, as soon as somebody starts talking about somebody else, we consider that ghibah. Like, please don't talk about anybody else, let's just talk about ourselves here. Then it becomes kind of difficult. As soon as you want to mention anybody's name, and they're like, don't talk about that. And gradually, they start moving to the other extreme. and saying, just forget about it. It goes back to the idea of negligence. Because the boundaries are not known. And sometimes we end up committing sins because of that itself. For example, one of the other sins, which is a great sin itself, it's worse than backbiting, is slander. At-tuhma. To say something about an individual, about a believer, that's not even true. Sometimes when you talk about ghibah, and we say, look, don't talk about that person, they say, well, it's true. Well, if it is true, that's where the problem begins and it becomes a ghibah. If it's not even true, then that's slander, it's tuhma, it's even worse. Now, I've seen people talking about others, especially sometimes even about ulama, about speakers, who've said something on the pulpit, and say this person is backbiting. This person is slandering. Well, have you ever thought that accusing somebody else of ghibah and slander is itself slander if it's not true? We've got to be careful when we speak. If we have enough evidence, if we have enough proof, and sometimes, as I said, what it's related to is the idea of knowing what that sin actually is. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to touch on a few areas about backbiting that we need to know. What makes talking about a person behind their back as backbiting? What makes it that sin? Is it okay to talk about other people? Not necessarily a problem with talking about other people. But what you say about them is going to make a difference. There's two elements in the concept of backbiting and ghibah that need to be met for it to be considered ghibah. Just because it's related to the family, just because it's related to a personal issue, doesn't make it something that it's wrong to talk about. All right. What makes it haram, what makes it ghibah, the first element is that it's actually a flaw or a fault. Flaw being a problem that exists. Something that is considered negative, has some form of negative connotation to it in the society that we live in. Sometimes people say, you know, as soon as somebody says, I don't want you to talk about this anywhere. I don't want you guys, I'm not okay with it. You shouldn't be talking about this somewhere. Razi nistam, as they say in Farsi. I'm not pleased with that. It's not okay. I'm not okay with it. Just because they said that, it doesn't make it backbiting. All right. It has to be something that is a flaw. Like sometimes people, it's a good idea for people not to like others to talk about something good that they've done. It's good. But if you talk about something good that they've done, even if they don't like it, all right, it's not going to make it ghibah. It has to be an actual flaw. It has to be a problem. Or a fault. Something that they've done that is either considered Islamically and religiously a sin, or if it's not that, it's considered a problem. Something that is wrong. It's going to cause people to look down upon this individual. All right. That's the first element that needs to be there. And the second one that is there is that it's hidden. It's not known by the public. It's not known by the others. It's not seen by others. These two together are important, and this is what makes it ghibah. If you talk about something that is apparent, something that is clear. Sometimes when you want to describe a person, you know, to religious people, or you're talking to a very religious person, you want to describe a person to them, for them to know them better, to recognize them. You give them the name, so I can't recognize the name. You want to describe them. Sometimes you feel yourself, if you're trying to practice this, you want to avoid ghibah, you find yourself looking for words to describe them because you're afraid you're committing riba. For example, you want to say they're a little chubby, okay, a little heavy set, okay, or they're short. These are things that, you know, are considered flaws in a way. If people have them, then... Or there's something in their face that can be seen that maybe doesn't look very pleasant, but that's something that you can notice them with. Mentioning that in and of itself is not a sin. That's not a ghibah. Of course, depending on how it's mentioned, there's a hadith. I don't know how true it is about this particular case. It says that the Holy Prophet was speaking to an individual. His wife Aisha was there. And this person was a little short. And we have the tendency of making fun of short people. We have, I mean, especially in our teen years, or making fun of short people or people that are a little chubby. So this person was a little short. When he left, it says that Aisha looked at the Prophet and just, you know, kind of made a little reference to his height by showing how short he was. And the Holy Prophet said to her that she needs to take a toothpick and take the pieces of meat of that brother that she just chewed on, referring to the verse of the Holy Quran, which says that backbiting is like taking the flesh of your brother and chewing on it. Depending on how it's mentioned, sometimes we make fun of others because of a flaw that they have. That's a different sin, and it's a greater sin. لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ. Sometimes it becomes a problem, not just making fun of an individual, sometimes we make fun of a whole people. We consider ourselves better than them, God forbid. Cultures making fun of amongst us, amongst believers, very, very unfortunately that it's seen, but it's there. This culture making fun of the other, I won't mention the names, but people from this country having jokes amongst themselves about the others from a different country, different culture, different village, different city. All of this is completely non-Islamic. One of the greatest sins to commit. So sometimes it's mentioned in the form of making fun of somebody. Can't do that. Something that is hidden also, if it's something that is done publicly, it's not going to be a sin to talk about. This brother or this sister is committing this sin or is committing the act publicly and openly. That's not going to be a sin to talk about. There's something regarding that that we'll say. But one thing that we a lot of time neglect is talking about, sometimes we see parents talking about their children to others. Okay. Well, that's also going to be a sin. If this child is behaving a certain way in the house, we can't just go about and telling whoever we wish, just talking about it to our friends, our colleagues, or people at the masjid, this is how he's behaving or this is how she's behaving. We've got to respect the dignity of our own child. Sometimes, for some reason, we don't see children as our children, or children in general, people below their teens or even people in their teens, as human beings, kind of. Seriously, the way we deal with them is very disrespectful at times. One of the instances that I can think of and comes up a lot is in prayer. In prayer, when you have the children that have been religious enough and practicing enough, that have come and are joining the lines of prayer in jama'ah, you see some people coming in a very rude way, trying to tell them, like, you're not supposed to stand in this line, or you're supposed to stand back here, or separating between them, and they want to stand together. First thing that I need to say about that is, there's a misunderstanding that a lot of us have, brothers and sisters. A child that has reached... Recite a salawat, please. Talking about children. If a child has reached an age where they can understand what prayer is, They know what wudu is. They know how to do it. If you see them joining the lines of prayer, their prayer is actually considered accepted, and connecting through them is valid. They can be a connection, unless you're absolutely sure that this child did not make wudu. So if they're even like 8 or 9 years old, they know how to pray, they've joined the lines, they can make a connection. You don't need to separate between them. You don't need to get them off the first line. And even if you want to do so, try to do so respectfully, inshallah. Recite the salawat, please. Last year we had the lecture after Maghrib. At least they had a cup of water here. We could, you know, take a drink every now and then. And this year, I guess the brothers decided to have it before Maghrib. It's difficult to try to focus without that. Recite another salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So, we have to realize when we talk about people how we talk about them, just because they are our children or just because they are children doesn't mean that they don't have feelings or they don't have dignity or they don't have respect. No, we need to respect them as well. But about this idea of something being done publicly, I was seeing some of the brothers and sisters talking about the idea of gossip being a serious problem in the communities. I think it's more of a problem among sisters, but I think everybody is facing that problem. As I said, talking about others is not necessarily haram if it has those two elements. Sometimes we see people committing sins. If a sin is committed in a small group of people, something that would be considered private, then those who have seen it and witnessed it aren't allowed to go and tell others about it. You would like to try and help your brother or sister avoid that sin. If you see them committing that sin, one of the things that we have, one of the problems that we have, is not feeling strong enough to tell our friends that, look man, this is wrong, we shouldn't do it. We need to gather that strength to do so. Okay, we need to be that strong figure, and don't think that you're not going to have any friends or whatever. No, you will have friends as well. You need to be that strong figure. If something wrong is happening, if you're able and capable of stopping it, you should do so. If you need to say a few words and say, let's not do that, do so. And if you can't, leave. Don't be around them. Don't be around that sin. We have a hadith. One of the companions of the Imam used to have a, I think it's a maternal uncle that he had. He's related to him. He's not committing sins in the way that we're talking about, but he has a problem of rejecting and going against the Ahlul Bayt. Most Sunnis don't go against the Ahlul Bayt, alright? They don't dislike the Ahlul Bayt. Most of them have some level of liking, some more, some less. They have some level of respect for the Ahlul Bayt. They just don't believe in their imamat. But this person was actually kind of feeling a form of animosity, hatred towards the Ahlul Bayt. The Imam told this companion of his, why do you hang around this person? He mentions him by name. Why are you going around him? Why are you around him? The person says, well, he's my maternal uncle. The Imam says, well, aren't you afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down his punishment and you're around him when that punishment comes? When people are committing sins, we're not allowed to just be there and be silent. The very least that we need to do is to hate it in our heart. If we can't do anything about it, try to leave that area. So if we see somebody committing a sin in a private gathering, in terms of the ghibah, we're not allowed to talk to others about it, except for a couple of exceptions that I'll mention. But if they have committed this publicly, they were careless, they committed it in front of others, In the cafeteria at school, for example, or in the university, or a restaurant, just somewhere publicly, or in the masjid, wherever, that is not considered private, a private place, then talking about that is not a sin, because they disrespected the divine law, they disrespected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala publicly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says such a person does not deserve respect. Now, for such sins that have been committed publicly, if we just know about a regular sin that doesn't really concern us, it doesn't concern the person that's listening to this if I tell them, it's not going to have any effect here, negative or positive, then speaking about it may not be a sin, but it's not necessarily advisable either. Why would you just want to talk about somebody committing a sin? But sometimes it does become important. Yesterday we mentioned the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, don't have ill thoughts about your brothers and sisters. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم. You see a brother or sister being in a questionable environment, in a questionable scene, and you automatically judge them as having committed something that is wrong or being a bad person. That's something that we need to remove from our thoughts. All right. But sometimes there's the opposite, there's another extreme, and that is, even when we see somebody committing a sin and doing something that is absolutely wrong, we want to think twice about them having committed that sin. We want to turn a blind eye to that. We don't want to see that. Now, if it's just a personal issue that a person has committed this sin and we want to just wipe that aside and not see it, that's not necessarily a bad idea. But sometimes it becomes very important for us to actually see that. When it's a personal issue, a brother, a regular brother or sister has committed a sin, that's one thing. That's good. Try to think of them as a good person. Even if we see them committing some form of sin, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show them the path to repentance, and we just hope that inshallah they've repented from that. But when it comes to people that are influential in our communities, people that are influential in Muslim communities at large, we've got to be very careful. We have to notice problems in the practice and the conduct of these people. If you see someone like me doing something wrong, you can't just say, oh, inshallah, he didn't. There's one time that you see, for example, you see myself somewhere where it's questionable. Inshallah, you don't see that, but you see me somewhere where it's questionable. Well, inshallah, you have it in you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you think that inshallah he didn't do something wrong. But if you see me with the wrong person doing the wrong thing or saying the wrong thing, looking at the wrong direction, then you're seeing me doing and committing a sin. It's different. You can't just brush that aside. You can't have people that are committing sins leading communities. Why is it that justice is a condition for leadership at the smallest scale, which is leading prayers? Justice is a condition. The person who leads prayer cannot be one that is committing sins. If we're supposed to just brush everything under the carpet and say, no, I didn't see any. I see it, inshallah. They have this saying in Farsi, they say, inshallah, it's a cat. They say, if the dog was this guy who was in the house, this dog came out of the house, his face and hands and paws and all of that was, you know, full of the food that the guy had. And he went on the food and he said, inshallah, it was a cat, and he started eating it. He saw it's a dog, alright? If you see it, then you can't say, oh, inshallah, it's not. If you see someone that's influencing communities that has a flaw, you do need to talk about it if it's going to influence your community, if they're going to be inviting that person, if people are listening to that person, because you don't want them to go and get deviated from the right path because of that. That's very important. I'm not going to spend too much time. I've had other lectures on that, and our time is coming to an end. Some of the exceptions of this, some of the exceptions of the sin of backbiting, where is it that we can talk about a person and something wrong that they have done or are doing? Because another thing is, if you've seen somebody a while back do something wrong, you should think that inshallah they've repented. Maybe they haven't done that anymore after that. But if you see them constantly committing it, then we may have responsibilities towards them as a brother. And that responsibility is going to affect the ruling of ghibah as well. The ruling of backbiting has a couple of exceptions. One is to help your brother or sister. If you see them having this problem, if you're not strong enough to tell them that this is wrong, to stop them. Or if you are strong enough, but you're not effective, you can't help them out. You need somebody else. It happens a lot. We find somebody around us, they have an issue, they have a problem in practice and conduct that we can't help them out with. They don't listen to us. Sometimes we find it in families. It's very good. You know, we have a lot of ahadith. The same way that we have a lot of verses in a hadith talking about how important it is to do amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar, forbidding good and enjoining forbidding evil and enjoining good, we have a number of ahadith that it's important to take that, to accept that advice. A lot of times it's difficult for us to take that advice, especially when it comes from family members, from siblings, especially when they're younger. So a lot of times we know about things that are going on that are not supposed to be going on, that are not supposed to be happening, and we want to help out. And we have this thing that maybe it's backbiting, you don't want to commit that sin. Well, one of the exceptions of the issue of backbiting, the sin of backbiting, is that very act of helping them out. If you can tell someone that can help them out, even if they may hate your guts afterwards, for example, telling mom or dad, right? It's not bad sometimes to tell others about something wrong that happened and is happening. Don't feel bad about it. Don't feel pressured by others that you're not supposed to talk about this. No, sometimes you have to talk about it, even if they don't like it. Sometimes it's important to let mom or dad know. If mom and dad are capable of handling the situation in the right way, of course. If they are the person that can help out. Because sometimes, unfortunately, instead of parents helping out, parents cause problems for the children. They don't help them out avoid sin. They don't help them out become better people. But they just cause them to go in hiding and just put everything, do everything in a way that the parents wouldn't know about it. If it's parents or whoever else it may be that may be able to help them out, then that is an exception. We need to. Sometimes it's a responsibility. They say you have the responsibility of enjoining good and forbidding evil. If there's an evil happening, you have to say something, do something about it to stop it. If you can't do it yourself, then have somebody else do it. That means you have to tell others about it. Another area that's mentioned as an exception to the ruling is when people talk to you about marriage. If they're asking around to know more about a certain brother or sister in the community for marriage, which, let me say right now, inshallah, because the topics that I'm covering are what's been requested from me by the community. I received an email. These are some of the topics that the brothers and sisters felt that are important to cover. So some of them have been about marriage and family issues. Inshallah, that's going to be coming up as well. And we're going to talk about this more. But one of the things that for the younger generation, I haven't seen them really focusing on when it comes to marriage. People start talking to one another in order to know one another for marriage. That's not the first step, brothers and sisters. The first step is to try to know their character, not through their own words and how they react or how they interact with you in your presence, but actually through who they actually are, even when you're not around. And that you can't know by being around them and just talking to them if the intention is marriage. So you need to ask around. A very good advice that we have, the ulama tell us to do this, and it's a good practice, it's a good way of knowing more about the person that may be our future spouse. Go and ask around. Ask brothers and sisters that a lot of times marriages are happening between different communities that are sometimes spread apart. We have no clue who this person is. We've never lived with them, they've never been in our community, we don't know who they are. Well, then you have to ask around. Sometimes they may be in the community, but they haven't been around us too much. We don't have too much information about them. Now they've come and they're asking for our daughter, or they're asking the person, the sister herself, or you know, the sister is trying to get married to this brother. They want to ask about her. When they ask about a brother or sister for marriage, now, it doesn't mean that we go out and say whatever mistakes that we've seen from them in the past, we need to tell them. Okay. Some point in time, at high school, this guy was hanging around the wrong crowd. He was smoking pot. He was, I don't know, around girls. Or he was this, or he was that. Not necessarily. If a person has repented, all of us have got flaws, we've got problems, we've committed sins, we've done things that have been wrong. But sometimes people truly repent, they change. If a person is currently flirting with girls and going around with them, then yeah, that is something to mention and talk about. But if this was in the past, years back, now they're coming and asking about this brother, and he's changed. Now he's become religious, he's not doing any of that. Then you don't have any business telling them that this person has this past. We're not supposed to do that. Or if they have flaws that aren't really serious issues in marriage, okay, they aren't. Like some of the way that people carry themselves, or some of the ways that people talk sometimes, people may not be, you know, sometimes they use foul language, for example. All right. You don't need to like mention all the details of every single flaw that you've seen in this person and say, oh, they're talking about marriage. But on the other hand, a lot of the things that we do know needs to be mentioned. Okay, some people feel that they can't talk about this person because it's backbiting, it's ghibah. Not necessarily. First of all, as I said, a lot of what we know about them has been in public by just interacting with them. We do need to let others know about this, because then, and you're helping the brother himself, because if they get into a marriage without knowing one another properly, without knowing the character of one another, what's going to happen is, after a while, this is probably going to end in a divorce. You're helping both parties, the brother and the sister, out. Okay. So a lot of what we know about people is what we've seen in public. We need to let the people who are doing research know about that. If there's anything that's in private, that's a very, very serious issue, and that guy has a serious problem that he's hiding. For example, he's on drugs, but he's hiding it. God forbid. He's hiding it, and nobody knows about this, but I know about it. Then You've got to do something about letting them know, because you don't want that sister to get stuck with this guy with this problem, or vice versa, if God forbid the sister has some problems. Okay, well, our time has come to an end. There's a couple of other issues that, inshallah, I guess we'll leave for the following session, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, to enable us to be of the close companions of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to all of our maraja, and especially the leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, to relieve all people of the world, especially the believers, of the oppression they're facing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the hajat of all the believers that need that, the hajat that they have. Bin Nabi wa alihi rahimallahu man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.